All right, we keep things rolling on the Krug Show on a Wednesday night. John Chapman in the house, one of our favorite streams of the week. Let's go. OTAs tomorrow. We're going to get into it tonight. Off and running on the Krug Show on a Wednesday night. Brought to you by Diggin' a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week. Soon to open in Petaluma. Great brisket. Great brisket chili. The homemade potato chips. It's all amazing. Great stuff. Pig in a Pickle. Check them out. Fantastic barbecue. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee you. Also, thank you to Prize Picks, the Krug Show presented by Prize Picks. America's number one sports picks app. Prize Picks is super simple. You just pick more or less on player stats or even game outcomes, and you build your lineup. It's available in most states, including California. If you haven't checked it out yet, use code HMA. When you play $5, you get $50 in lineups instantly. We'll do a lineup later on today, and thank you, or later on this evening. And we should also thank, before we get rolling here, Novato Chevrolet. When I buy a Chevrolet, I buy it from Novato Chevrolet. Go see David Corral, family owned for over 50 years, friendly staff, huge selection, easy financing, Bay Area's EV headquarters. When I buy a Chevrolet, I buy it from Novato Chevrolet. As I said, go see David Corral over at Novato Chevrolet. Guess who's in the house, guys? That's right. The great John Chapman is back. Back by popular demand, and we are going to share the screen because Johnny, of course, travels throughout the football season, and you can travel with him. And I'm going to show you, call up John's Twitter here. You got a nice little video going.
And yeah, we worked hard on this video. I like it.
Here we go.
People are having a good time.
Here we go. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out, and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Nice. Good job on the video. And John, tell people, you know, you just kind of gave him the skinny right there. But you guys this year are going to be in Australia and Mexico City, Dallas, Kansas City, Atlanta. And you guys
and Seattle. We're all over the place. So if you want to come out with us, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, man, we have a good time. Guaranteed.
That is awesome to hear. Tomorrow is OTAs, and I will be down in Santa Clara for OTAs. And, you know, there was some news today, there were really two bits of news. One, Jake Brendel restructured his deal. He created more cap space. He converted $3.02 million of Brendel's salary into bonus money, and that cleared a little bit over $2.2 million from the 49ers cap, and they now have over $72 million in available cap, and I believe that's the most in the NFL. So that's one announcement today, and the other one was that Mac Jones got a raise today. He got a $300,000 roster bonus added to his bank account, so he will now is sitting at $3.55 million for 2026, including another, and in addition to that, he can make $2.25 million in possible incentives. And I think most people believe that Mac Jones is going to seek greener pastures in March as a free agent, and it makes all the sense in the world. But yet Matt Maiocco, who I got to say is probably as informed as any of the 49er insiders, if not more informed, is on the record saying that, you know, he thinks that there's a chance that Mac Jones, you know, sticks around. And Matt's point was, and if just to summarize it, if I could find it here, I will look for it. Yeah, here it is. Here it is. Matt says, I think the 49ers did something that maybe paved the way towards a long-term solution or a long-term union with the 49ers and Mac Jones. They've added $300,000 to his existing contract, something they did not have to do. What do you think? I mean, I want to talk about this because, as I just stated, John, most people think that Jones is going to walk at the end of the year, and why wouldn't he walk, right? I mean, Malik Willis just signed a deal with Miami. He got $45 million guaranteed. He got an AAV of 22.5 a year. You know, these are very comparable players. Why would Mac Jones be satisfied with $3.55 million plus 2.2 in incentives when Malik Willis has got $45 million? I mean, Mac's pretty chill about it. But as a Niner fan, I'd love for him to stay long-term because he's an awesome fit. And I guess my question to you is it just as simple as the cap does not allow for it? I mean, why can't you have two good starting quarterbacks? I mean, if the quarterback is the most important player on your roster, and if you have a good one, you got a chance to win a championship. And if you don't have a good one, you have no chance to win a championship. So where does that, if you have a great backup quarterback, that's pretty damn good. And Mac Jones fits that category for sure. He's definitely in that category. Where does he rank in order of importance on your 53 man roster? He went 5-3 in 8 starts. His last game, he completed 85% of his passes. Everybody loves this guy. I mean, this guy walks into the locker room and everybody smiles. The players, the media, he's like, I can't believe how unlikable he seemed coming out of Bama. Contrast that to how likable he's actually been in a 49er uniform. I mean, this guy is like universally beloved, and he did something last year that was amazing. He somehow didn't usurp any of Brock's leadership, but found a way to lead the room in Brock's absence, and then not in any way bother Brock's leadership in any way. I mean, it was the most masterful. He didn't have one bad quote over the course of the year. It was amazing how great he was as the number two quarterback. What do you think, John? Is there any way that the Niners can financially swing this and keep Mac Jones?
My short answer is no. There's not. You could talk about how much cap room they have right now for this year. You look at next year and the following season and their cap, and you know there's a lot of inflated. You know, what are you going to do with Nick Bosa? Brock Purdy's got an extension 2 years out. They built those into the contracts. The thing that gives me I'm going to give a nuanced take here. Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. The general manager was Charlie Casserly during that time. And Charlie Casserly is very famous. And, he's got that kind of hardcore East Coast accent. And he would always say, the most important player on your roster is the quarterback. The second is the backup quarterback. Like, he would say that all the time. Kyle Shanahan was about that team. Kyle Shanahan was on that team. How much that affects him. We've heard Kyle Shanahan talk about, man, it's going to take a first rounder to get Mac Jones out of here. They're not going to trade him away for anything unless it's a first rounder. Plus, nobody even called. And he said he was kind of shocked. Nobody even called. But quarterbacks get paid. You're talking about it. Matt Maiocco comes out and Matt does great work. And he is in tune with the front office. And he's going to put out what they want him to put out. Like, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We're thankful for the coverage that he brings. But a $300,000 increase compared to what Malik Willis just got isn't even 3%. To say that is enough to keep him from going and getting a $20 million a year payday elsewhere. This dude's making less than $3 million a year right now at the 49ers. Now, the Shanahan reclamation project at the quarterback position, if you're a quarterback that plays for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers, you're getting paid. Whether you're C.J. Beathard, Nick Mullins, Jimmy Garoppolo, it doesn't matter. Trey Lance still out there getting paid. He's one of the highest paid backup quarterbacks in the NFL still. What's crazy is Trey Lance is making twice the money that Mac Jones is making this year.
Wow.
Mac Jones is getting paid elsewhere. There's no, he is getting $20 million plus minimum next year, an average per year, with another $35 to $40 million guaranteed. That is going to happen next year, period. Why would he stay here on a $10 million deal, even if he loves the team, even if the team loves him? Now, my one thing that I will say about Mac that makes me have, again, just a little bitty shot of maybe, whenever he stepped in and went 5-3, he came into that opening press conference saying, I was brought here to be the backup. This is Brock's team. And he didn't steal any of the mojo you were talking about or any of the leadership. He played his role to a T. That's invaluable whenever you're dealing with millionaires. This is a former first-round pick. Talking about Brock Purdy, last pick of the draft. He's older than Brock Purdy by like 3 years. Why would he stay here, besides just Kyle Shanahan and his love for the team and teammates, when you can go out there and make literally $25 million a year? I just don't see that coming with the 49ers. It would be awesome to have that depth at the quarterback position. I would put it at less than 2%.
Here's my next question. Where's Mac Jones going to start? Because if he's going to back up, then he might as well stay. So we're assuming he's leaving because the assumption is he'll start. But he's not starting now, and nobody seems to be dying to get him as a starter. Where would he start? Where exactly would he start?
Well, you have to – okay, so what's the recipe for a team that wants Mac Jones? You have three teams actively tanking for draft capital, and their quarterbacks match that. You look at the Miami Dolphins, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Jets. They are purposefully not bringing in top-tier quarterbacks because they want to lose. And, like, that is – you call it whatever you want. They want to be competitive, whatever. I don't care. But then you look at teams like, okay, the Steelers, yep, one more year with Aaron Rodgers, but he's already said it's his last year. Aaron Rodgers wasn't really even that good last year. Like, whatever. There's going to be several other teams. You know, what's going to happen with Atlanta? What's going to happen? Like, there are just teams out there. The NFL is a quarterback needy team, needy league year in and year out. And I understand, you know, it's supposed to be a very heavy quarterback draft, whatever, but you just saw the Las Vegas Raiders spent the number one overall pick on Fernando Mendoza. Consensus, everybody knew it was going to happen, and paid Kirk Cousins to come in. So you already have Mac Jones, who is this guy that's like, dude, he ain't going to steal anybody's thunder. He understands his job. So if you're going to draft Arch Manning or Moore from Oregon, I mean, you can go Julian Sain, Lenora Sellers, all these quarterbacks that are coming out in the first round next year. Why not pair them with a Mac Jones and guarantee this is the way it should be done? So I just think that there's going to be such a bidding room for a veteran that knows his role, that can help coach up these young first round picks. There's going to be a lot of demand for that next year.
It's really interesting because it's like, you know, your starting quarterback means so much, but then if you have a backup that you can win with, then that guy means an awful lot. You know, this current deal with Jones is a great deal for the Niners, as you said. I mean, Jones is dramatically underpaid at $3.5 million a year. He played amazing football. Let's talk about the Niner quarterback position, because, you know, we all have our initial thoughts, but then they all hit the field and start playing. And the old saying, you never stay the same. You either get better or you get worse. So what do you envision, John? How is this quarterback position going to play out? Is Brock Purdy going to continue to ascend and improve and get better and then just, what, you know, be on an MVP trajectory and lead the Niners to their sixth Lombardi? Or do you see scenarios where Brock Purdy once again is hurt and misses games, and then it's Mac Jones time and he gets thrust in there? And then what about the Curtis Rourke factor? You know, if Curtis Rourke plays well, what does that mean for the whole thing? Does that mean that you trade Mac Jones, or does that mean? And I guess the other question I would have for you is, if Curtis Rourke plays pretty well this preseason, he doesn't have the failure in New England that Mac Jones had on him, which probably causes some NFL people to pause. He will have gone from Indiana to a redshirt year to looking really good in the preseason. If Curtis Rourke looks really good in the preseason, is there a big trade market for him? And then I've looked at the Niners paring down the fit to 53, that exercise, go do that exercise two or three times, and you'll realize that it's going to be a long shot for any quarterback to make this roster beyond Mac Jones and Brock Purdy, whether it be Rourke, whether it be Adrian Martinez, whether it be somebody else. It's just going to be hard to keep three quarterbacks on a team that has this many offensive linemen, on a team that has this many corners, on a team that has this many receivers, this many D linemen. It's going to be very, very difficult to keep Curtis Rourke at the cutdown. So, and then there's Martinez, and I'm a Martinez head. I believe in Martinez. He's athletic. He played well in the UFL. We have yet to see him play, and I think he's going to play well. So what do you envision this summer? What do you envision this season from the four quarterbacks? How's this thing going to play out? What do you think?
I'm comfortable saying, Larry, that the 49ers have the best quarterback room in the NFL. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel, pick up the kids, they're out of school, adventure, it's all out there. For others, juggling it can be tough and can lead to being overwhelmed and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting their days of sunshine. Well, therapy can help better understand their needs. Feel more confident about setting boundaries. Create a version of summer that actually feels good. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works. Their average rating is 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. And they do all the initial matching work with you for the therapist. Short questionnaire helps identify your needs, your preferences, and over 12 years of experience in the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of the tailored recommendations. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy, sign up, and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Now, it's debatable, but I think they're in the conversation. Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying Brock Purdy's the best quarterback in the NFL. That's not what I'm saying at all. I think that he is an above-average quarterback.
You're saying the collective room, right?
The collective room. Yeah. You could say those four quarterbacks versus anybody else's three or four quarterbacks. There's a lot of depth there. There really, really is. And I think the Niners kind of, this is an envious position to be in. Because when you drafted Curtis Rourke last year, it was a gray shirt year, not even a true red shirt year. His year didn't accrue. So, like, you still have the entire rookie contract, 4 years of controlled contract status with Curtis Rourke. He's going to become a third-year restricted free agent, which we've seen with Matt Breida, we've seen with Kendrick Bourne, we've seen with Juwan Jennings. Like, we've seen this. So, you had Mac Jones, you signed him to a two-year deal, which, huge, wonderful, like, huge get. Then you draft Curtis Rourke to just sit and learn for a year, recover from the ACL. Now you have your three. And I think Kyle Shanahan is perfectly fine saying, look, we're going to keep these three quarterbacks. We're keeping them. Yeah, I understand we're going to cut a rough roster, and yeah, that's going to suck, and fans are going to be pissed. But the natural evolution of Mac Jones staying with the team this year, going and hitting big in free agency, getting that huge comp pick, and then allowing Curtis Rourke to move into the number two spot, that's the organic process that the 49ers front office, Kyle Shanahan, whatever you want to say, they've designed it to move this way. The question is, the practice of it, will that come to fruition? How many snaps is Curtis Rourke going to get? Like, you've been to training camp so many times. The third quarterback does not get reps. They just don't. But he's been in the room. He's been through film. He's been able to watch. He's been able to learn. So how much of, I don't think that you're going to be able to sneak him through the waiver system. So if you cut Curtis Rourke at your 53-man cut down, I do think somebody would claim him. I don't think that he has much of a trade market. Maybe if he like goes out there and shines out, his athletic profile is not the best. But I just don't see that as a big possibility. I think the main possibility would be you try to slide him through waivers, he gets claimed, or you keep all three. And the reason why I say keep all three, that Australia game throws a wrench or perhaps life raft into the 53-man roster, because you're not going to fly guys that are on the cusp of almost being healthy to Australia and back. You don't do that. That plane ride messes with your body. 17 hours there, 17 hours back. That messes with you. So if you've got somebody like George Kittle, Mikael Williams, who's not quite ready to be week one, you keep them on the pup. That's an extra roster spot that you don't have to worry about. You could slide Curtis Rourke through. Then whenever they come back, you know, maybe you waive Curtis Rourke week three instead of the initial 53. Well, now teams are a little bit more set in their 53 ways. It's an extra sneaky roster Shanahan. He does these things. So I think initially they keep all three quarterbacks. I think it's going to be tough, and I think there's going to be a tough decision made. And I want to be pissed at whoever they do let go, because this roster this year, there's a lot of competition. Couldn't say this last year. You're going to be letting go of somebody pretty damn good, but Shanahan values the quarterback position more than anybody else in the NFL. He started this three quarterback movement where you keep all three of them on the 53. So I think that continues.
You know, it's really interesting because I kind of look at it differently. I see, you know, don't lose focus on the prize, which is the prize is winning the Super Bowl. If you feel like Brock Purdy is your guy and you have Mac Jones right now, if Curtis Rourke plays well and there's a market for him, trade him. Trade him. Use your quarterback depth to build your roster. You know, you've missed on 12 picks in the first three rounds over four drafts. You're a little behind. You could, you know, Curtis Rourke's never going to play. If he plays well and somebody's willing to give you a fifth round pick, take the fifth round pick. You know,
yeah, if you get a fifth, you take that.
Instead of trying to squeeze him through waivers. And if the guy looks, you know, really, really good, I don't fall in love. You know, understand that he looks really good because of the development path and because of the system, the players around him, and have confidence that, you know, that's my only concern is that he's going to play well and the Niners are going to fall in love and then be like, oh, you know, we got to keep three quarterbacks. You don't got to keep three quarterbacks.
What if seventh do it for you? What if somebody, what if seventh was all that was offered? Is that enough to move off of Curtis Rourke for you?
Yeah, I mean, well, depending on how he looks, of course, but, you know, I want to see how he looks, but let's just say he looks pretty good, but nothing spectacular. Yeah, any draft capital, I think I'd be willing to move off of him because I feel like I can find another guy or another veteran. To me, it's like, do you have a quarterback? Yes. Do you have a backup quarterback? Yes. Okay, then let's get to the next position on the, you have Jake Tonjes, and that's all. At tight end, as far as receivers. Farrell, no. Dinkins, no. They're not really receivers. You have one receiver at tight end. So, yeah, if you can get a player at tight end, you know, that would do that. You know, the 49ers have a lot of receivers. But you know what? I think you consolidate some of those receivers and, you know, trade it. You know, I'd be looking for a two-for-one kind of a deal. You know, I'll give you two pretty good receivers. You give me one, you know, very good receiver. I think I'd be looking to consolidate because I think every roster spot's vitally important for the 49ers, especially in a year where you signed five new offensive linemen. How are they going to make the team? You only typically go with four backup offensive linemen. None of those guys are slated to start necessarily. How are you going to squeeze five new offensive linemen onto your 53? You're not. So that means somebody that you drafted is probably going to get cut, or somebody that you signed is probably going to get cut. And look at, you got four lines of defensive linemen. You have like 15, 16, 17 NFL caliber defensive linemen going to camp this summer. You can't keep that many guys. So I don't know. To me, when I look how deep they are on the O-line and D-line, I think they're going to have to go short at quarterback. I think they're going to have to go short at tight end. I think they're going to have to go short at running back. I think they may have to go short at receiver. I'm looking at a roster. I did that roster cut down exercise to preserve the depth on both lines that you added in the offseason. You're going to have to go with two quarterbacks, four running backs, two tight ends, five wide receivers. You're not going to be able to have seven wide receivers. You're not going to be able to go with four tight ends. You're not going to be able to have five or six running backs or three quarterbacks. Not if you're going to preserve the Carver Willises, the Enrique Cruzes. I mean, I don't think Enrique Cruz would get through as a tackle who has that kind of athleticism. Everybody else is keenly aware of his athleticism.
Fifth round picks get claimed on waves.
Yeah. Typically, yeah. I mean, but I mean, especially guys who you know had the best measurables of anybody. You know, he had great jumping measurables, great running measurables. Those guys are gonna. I mean, if he shows anything at all in the preseason, there'll be no chance in hell of him squeezing through waivers. So, I don't know. I would rather. Do you have a quarterback? Yes. Do you have a backup? Yes. Okay. At that point, I'm willing to. I'd be aggressive if I were the Niners. Like if we go to camp this summer and Curtis Rourke looks pretty good and Mac Jones looks pretty good and Adrian Martinez looks pretty good. If I can get anything some teams to give me assets, I might just go with whatever quarterback. I'm going with Purdy. You know, he's my number one quarterback. If I like Adrian Martinez, I might consider trading both those guys, especially if I could get something decent. And you might get something. If somebody goes down, you know, if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, I think the Steelers are going to have to give you something pretty good.
Yeah.
They may have to give you Nick Herbig or something. They may have to give you something legit.
So that was the one thing about the Mayoko claim more than anything was, man, this is the 49ers hyping up their boy Mac Jones. And if there is an injury in season to a major quarterback, which nobody wants to happen, but it does happen in the NFL, this increases, you know, his value because teams are going to be like, man, they really don't want to trade Mac Jones. They're talking about maybe keeping him long term. We're going to have to pay a lot. Like, that's the way Shanahan's chess matrix works. Now, my question to you, Larry, is, okay, you trade away Curtis Rourke. Somebody likes him. You get a fifth, as you say. Awesome. Let's play that out. What do you do next year when Mac Jones leaves?
Well, you have Brock Purdy. He's in his prime. I mean, I would go look. You know, first of all, I think quarterbacks are going to be seeking you out as much as you're seeking them out because of Kyle Shanahan and the system. I think this is the advantage the Niners have. And you know, some team, the disadvantage might be the electrical substation, but the advantage might be that they have basically their pick of quarterbacks every year that want to play for them. I mean, I look at it this way, John. Sam Darnold just won the Super Bowl. Why? Is Sam Darnold the best quarterback in football? No. But is he on the best team? Yes. A couple years ago, Jalen Hurts beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Why? Because Hurts' team was better than Mahomes' team. So, yes, do I want a quarterback? Yes. But after I have a quarterback, I want a good team because that's who wins the Super Bowl, the best teams. And if I can use Mac Jones or Curtis Rourke to make a deal, I want to do that. I want to make a deal. And I want to add, if I can add a piece that I think is going to get me over the top, I want to do that. And I'll worry about to, I mean, I wouldn't do it if I wouldn't leave myself with just one quarterback after having all these quarterbacks. But like, there's degrees of this. What if Curtis Rourke comes in this summer and looks great? What if he looks great? What if he completes 70% of his passes and three touchdowns and no picks and moves the team and looks really good? This is a league where people are dying for quarterbacks. You might get a pretty decent offer for him. Somebody could offer you a day three pick, and it could be a fourth or fifth round pick. So I'm just saying, I want the best. I need the best team. And if I'm going to beat Sam Darnold, it's not just about beating Sam Darnold. You got to have the best team. And the 49ers, I think if they could add another key piece by trading one of their quarterbacks, I think this might be their advantage. I think this might be the thing that they can do that other teams can't do, because they can definitely attract the reclamation project quarterback. I think, after Darnold and Mac Jones, I think every reclamation project quarterback should be sprinting towards Santa Clara. Let's talk about the Brendel part of it for a second. What's your read on the Brendel thing? Now, some people think that, there was no additional years. This was not a restructure this was not an extension. This was a restructure, and they converted some base from base salary into bonus, give him a little bit more guaranteed money up front, cleared a little bit more of cap room. Why Niners now have over $72 million in available cap room? I don't know what to think of this. Some people are like, Brendel's in his last year with the Niners, but if you wanted to extend him, throwing him a few more and you had the cap room to throw him some money now, couldn't you save money on your extension that's coming at the end of the year by throwing him more money now? I mean, I don't necessarily look at this as a fait accompli that Brendel's in his final year with the Niners. If I ran the show, he'd be in this final year with the Niners. If the fans ran the show, he'd be in his final year with the Niners. But they seem to really have this affinity for Brendel that goes pretty deep. We just saw Purdy and Brendel at the Giants game together.
Yeah, Jake Brendel's 33. Not everybody's, Trent Williams that can play till they're 40. His play has not gone up, that's for sure. Can it go down? I don't know. That's something a lot of fans would say, probably not. But he went into this year with no guaranteed money in the last year of his deal. I was petrified that they were going to extend him and add more years to this contract.
There's rumor of that.
They didn't do it. They gave him the increase this year, and they didn't add anything on it. I think that is amazing news. Now, the thing about Jake Brendel is he is a bargain bin value contract at center. Like, there's no, like, he's one of the lowest paid centers in the NFL, which is why you can put up with the, stopping blocking so many times a game after two counts and, just being very deficient in the run game. Yes, he's great in the locker room. Brock Purdy's bestie, going to the Giants game. Awesome personality, consistent with the line calls, good in pass pro. That's the best part of his tape. But if you want to know why the 49ers had the worst run game since Kyle Shanahan's been here last year, it starts with number 64. And so the fact that you drafted Carver Willis and you had the general manager say, we think you can play center. And then here we are a month later and they don't add on years to Jake Brendel's deal. The tea leaves are there. Like you do not have to look at this and say, like, man, the writing is on the wall. You paid Brett Toth and Chris Forster, the 49ers offensive line coach. He always plays interior offensive lineman at the guard spot first. That is where you learn. Then they transition to the center in the second year or halfway through the year once they understand all of the routes, all of the blocks, all of the reads, all that stuff. So Carver Willis has never played center. He's never even played guard. He's played tackle his entire career. Now he's been taking snaps, and he took snaps at the Senior Bowl, which the 49ers were at. So that is where they see him long-term. And his athletic profile's best as a center. Like, that is what he is built as, and he is a great run blocker. If you want to love Carver Willis, you turn on his run blocking snaps and it's just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is a 49ers old lineman. Then you watch the pass pro and it's like, uh-oh, he's got to learn. He can't anchor. His kick slide's weird as hell, but he's not playing tackle anymore. So it's going to be a little bit more natural for him inside, even though he hasn't done it yet. But this was the best news of the day for me personally. One, because I love it when players get paid. Always celebrate other people's success. Trust me, you will live a much happier life once you do. Even Jake Brindle, who I think is not a very good football player and should have had competition. But I love that he got paid. He got extra money. And I also love that they didn't add on a year. Now, let's just say Carver Willis ain't it and Brett Toth ain't it. You can still extend Jake Brindle next year and just say, hey, we're going to do one more year for $4 million a year. Congratulations. Awesome.
There's no reason to do it ahead of time.
There's no reason to add on a year, especially when you have the succession plan already in place. And you talked about how hard it is to keep all those offensive linemen. Well, now you just got to do it one year. You bite the bullet one year and you're playing Carver Willis at guard. Next year, you kick him to center. Man, that is just a dream scenario. Now it's got to play out, but at least there's a blueprint. The 49ers haven't drafted a center before Carver Willis for 13 consecutive drafts. 13. This is the first offensive tackle in Enrique Cruz that they have drafted in 5 consecutive drafts. Fans always get so upset, myself included. Why will the 49ers not invest in the offensive line through the draft? They just do not do it. This year they did. Now the numbers game is going to be rough because you also did sign, you know, Darian Lowe, Brett Toth, like you brought in guys as well in free agency. But hey, there is depth across the board. There is competitions to be had and to be won. You can hope it's going to be Carver Willis. We'll see how it pans out. But I think, and I dare I say, I hope this is Jake Brindle's last year as a starting center for the 49ers. I'd be very happy. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
Niners have $72 million in cap room. And yet, and they have a bunch of guys who are in the twilight. Trent Williams, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Nick Bosa, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, Mike Evans. They're all in what I would call the twilight of their prime. And now the Niners have the most cap room in football. And yet I think the plan is really just, I don't know, you know, I know there's immediate speculation. Myles Garrett, Nick, you know, Joey Bosa. I don't know if a big signing like that's coming. You know, they got a number of big name or, you know, high salaried guys whose contracts are going up. Their cap situation is not that favorable in the next 2 years. I think they would like to maintain some flexibility, both at the cut down to try to make a move that they want to move or at the trade deadline to make a move that they want to move. And maybe, you know, there's some cap ramifications there. So they want flexibility. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, you know, these maneuverings, they added $72 million to their cap ledger, have happened right before we get to June 1st. Is something going to happen June 1st where the Niners spend some of that money? Is it Ayuk? Are they going to be paying Ayuk to go away? Are they, you know, going to make a big deal for a defensive end, a safety? What do you think? What do you envision with June 1st rolling in? What do you envision with the $72 million million dollars in cap room?
I'm not seeing much on June 1st. I really not. Maybe one cut, but you're allowed to do a post June 1st cut designee early. Niners didn't do that either. So I really don't see a lot of movement salary cap wise early on. I think the 49ers have so much youth across the board. They want to see what they have. And the 49ers, if they add, it's going to be on the back half of training camp, on the back half of preseason. I think that's where it's going to be because a lot of these big ticket free agents that are still out there, Joey Bosa, Cam Jordan, and Zach Ertz, fill in the blank, whomever, they're waiting until training camp's over. Like these guys are like, I'm good. I don't want to go to training camp anyway. I'm holding out till it's done. I know how to play football. I'll step in later. So I think if an addition is made, it's going to be further down the road because the Niners want to check what they have in-house first. They want to see what ingredients they already have at home. Now, the salary cap is great now. $72 million, most in the NFL. Congratulations. You're the only team in 2028 that's negative already. The 49ers are negative $17 million in 2028. The only team, 31 teams above the cap, the 49ers, the only ones below it. Next year, there are six teams below, like negative against the cap, meaning you've got to do some things. The 49ers are $35 million over the cap already next year. That 72 rolls forward. That's half of it. So, yeah, it looks like $72 million now. You got to cut that in half. $37 million, still a lot to play with. But I really do see this as a wait-and-see approach. And if we need to go, if the 49ers need to get super aggressive at the trade deadline because they have a contender, then you can do that. But I think most of this is set aside for the future. I mean, $35 million in the hole next season. You roll all 72 forward, that takes care of that and gives you enough to operate next offseason. I don't see them as big spenders moving forward. Maybe some small deals, but again, back half of training camp if they do that.
I just think that they want to give themselves ultimate flexibility for the middle of the year.
Yes.
You know, what has John Lynch done, you know, not great? Well, I guess you could say day one and day two picks, right? But what has John Lynch done incredibly great? The trade deadline. I mean, it doesn't, whether you're talking about Trent Williams, I mean, that wasn't a trade deadline deal, but Christian McCaffrey, or even the smaller deals that they've made to keep themselves afloat or add a piece here or there. I think, you know, the Niners are good at identifying players that they want to add, and Lynch has been able to make those deals happen. And maybe they want that flexibility at the trade deadline because you just don't know in football. I mean, that's the one thing. You just don't know. It's like you're starting this to embark on this long season, but you have no idea where, you know, you try to build the deepest 90-man roster and the deepest 53-man roster, but you really don't know where the thing's going to spring a leak, right? You kind of, you know, football, there's 100% injury. So guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to go down. You're going to lose somebody for the year, but you just don't know who it's going to be. So what if you lost a linebacker? Maybe you need to go trade for one. What if you lost a receiver? Maybe you need to go trade for one, and you just don't know. So having that flexibility, I think, is definitely a good thing. It's not nothing. Let's just say that. All right, a couple other topics I'm going to hit here before we go jump over to our Prize Picks lineup. Chris Sims made Brock Purdy his 17th best quarterback. And in the process, still described him. I mean, it's like Sims is just all over the place. He described him as awesome. He called him awesome, and they called him surgical, but then he listed him as the 17th best quarterback. And I just think that's so preposterous. He's not he's way better to me. He's 10 spots better than that for sure. All the guy does is win. He was 30-15 in his career with the Niners. He's 5-3 in the playoffs. They've gone to a Super Bowl. He's taken them from behind to win the NFC Championship game. The guy was 30-17 at Iowa State. He led them to four straight bowl games. It's freaking Iowa State. The first year that Iowa State did not have Purdy, they still had Matt Campbell, and yet they went 1-8 inside the Big 12. And then the line that killed me from Sims in this thing is, he's talking about Purdy, he's not going to do more with less? What the heck is he watching? Juwan Jennings was his number one receiver last year. He barely got wide receiver three money from Minnesota. His most productive playoff wide receiver was DeMarcus Robinson, who might not even make the team. George Kittle went down in the first quarter of the Philly game. They still beat Philly in Philly. The Niners wide receivers had the least separation I think I've ever seen in an NFL game, in the Seattle game. Brock's operating behind a line that's just totally mediocre. CMC's great, but he averaged under 3.5 yards per game in 12 games last year and was under 3 yards a carry in 5 games. The defense had the worst pass rush in history. The linebacker core was so injured that the guys that played in the playoffs weren't even on the team at Thanksgiving. And the secondary is incredibly young. And yet they went 12-5. They beat the Eagles in Philly. 17th. I mean, come on, bro. You know, people call me Brock Purdy Stan and all this stuff. I guess because if people keep throwing him out there as the 17th best quarterback, there are not 16 quarterbacks in the NFL better than Brock Purdy. There might be six, might be seven, might be eight. There's not 16. Give me your thoughts on Purdy, the rankings. It's almost like a surefire way to rile up this iconic franchise, fan base. And I'm sure that's done by design, but still the Purdy disrespect knows no bounds. It's really unbelievable.
I think a lot of the national media struggles with Brock Purdy because admitting what he is now, you have to admit you were wrong and didn't know about him before he was what he is. And so, you know, shout out to you, Larry. You were freaking Brock Purdy stan before he was a stud. You know what I mean? And so I think that's hard. And Chris Sims, like, he does this with all of his rankings where he throws one absurd one in there. So everybody, I remember when he had Kellen Mond as a top 10 pick in his draft rankings. And I was just like, wait a second, what is this, like, for real? And so, like, I went and he does this to get engagement. I'm a Longhorn. I can't stand Chris Sims as a player or as, like, he's
he
tough.
Was a Longhorn.
We don't claim him. but like, nah, man, like, this is just bananas. But, and another thing too, like, Chris Sims always goes after Kyle Shanahan quarterbacks. Like, that is a staple. They're best friends. They have tattoos of each other, all that kind of different stuff. But, like, this is part
of this.
Yeah, they do. They have tattoos.
They have tattoos of each other?
That is true. They got a 6th Street Longhorn Drunk Night, I think is what it was. But he has, like, on his ankle, like, a face, a little small face of each other on their ankle. I think that's, yeah, I think somebody can verify that for me. But, yeah.
Wow.
That is a thing. So, and, you know, it's what it is. But, yeah, to put Brock Purdy 17th is malpractice. Like, that is just ridiculous. How many quarterbacks does he have to out-duel time and time and time again? And again, you talked about the 5 playoff wins, you know, even the 2nd Super Bowl loss, the offense walked off the field in the 4th quarter overtime, walked onto the field tied or trailing, walked off the field 4 consecutive times with the lead in the Super Bowl in the 4th quarter in overtime, didn't come up with the win. Defense, you know, is what it is. But yeah, that's ridiculous. But I think it says a lot more about Chris Sims than it does about Brock Purdy. Is that an opinion that you want to go back for? I don't know. I don't know if that's where I kind of want to go for my rankings. I think it's absurd.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that is just ridiculous. I mean, the top 5, right? You got Burrow, Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen. Who am I leaving off there? Stafford. There's somebody else that I just forgot about. But, I mean, Purdy's in that next group. He's not in the top group. I'm not going to put him in the
Agreed.
Top group.
Agreed.
But he's absolutely in that second tier. And when I see rankings that have CJ, like Mina Kimes had CJ Stroud over him and Dak Prescott, guys that he's, you know, I mean, Stroud actually beat the Niners, but that was their defense more than anything. But, I mean, Stroud was so horrible in the playoffs last year. And and Brock Purdy beat the Eagles and knocked off the world champions in their backyard. And we're going to say that Stroud is higher rated than Purdy. That one is really, really mystifying. All right. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch went to Tom Tolbert's backyard. And one of the questions that Tommy asked was, what do you guys need to do to win the Super Bowl? And Lynch said, hey, look, we got to be healthy. We got to be able to overcome all the obstacles, the travel and the lack of rest and the injuries and all the things that you know, get put in front of you in a season. But he said, John's like, hey, you know what? We need our D-line to rule the day and set the tone and, you know, cover whatever weaknesses they have on the back end. They need their D-line to play and play well. When Kyle was answering the question, I mean, the first thing he said is we need better defense on all 3 levels. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I mean, that's ballsy considering your offense scored 6 points in the last game of the year against Mike McDonald, that to say that your defense is the key to, you know, on all 3 levels. But then he said on offense, we need more explosives, especially in the run game. Are the Niners, have the Niners done anything in your mind to make their run game more explosive? What have they done this offseason that's going to make their run game more explosive than what we saw in the playoffs?
You got vertical threats on the outside. I would argue the 49ers had the worst wide receiver core of any team that made the playoffs last year. The worst. I don't even think it was close. You've added Mike Evans. You added five wide receivers. Sean Stribling, 6'2", 210, runs a 4.3. Mike Evans, vertical threat. You're hoping Ricky Pearsall gets healthy. I think that that wide receiver room changes the way teams key on the 49ers run game. I think that's huge. You added two excellent run blocking O-linemen in the draft, and Enrique Cruz and Carver Willis. Both of them have major pass pro issues. That's why they went in the fourth and fifth round. But the one thing that you have to say about Enrique Cruz and Carver Willis, they are excellent run blockers. They are old 90s Mike Shanahan freaking run blockers. The pass game is why they fail. So you talk about the new additions to the wide receiver room, pushing the safeties back, keeping defensive secondaries honest instead of, you know, what Seattle did to kill the 49ers were they showed too high at the snap. They waited one count and then they buzzed the safety down. Like that is the Mike McDonald new school. That is the change up to the NFL because your quarterback says, oh, too high. Can. We're going to switch to a run play. And they just keep you in there, but it's not a true too high look. Well, you can't buzz that safety down into the box after the snap when you have Mike Evans on the outside. You've got to incorporate this vertical passing game to keep defenses honest, give you light boxes, and allow you to have numbers in the outside zone. If you can do that, the explosives will return in the run game.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to block it better on the perimeter. So maybe there's some, you know, there's some hope there. I'm kind of hoping that Kalon Black keeps Christian McCaffrey fresh, that they finish with Kalon Black and that they use him throughout the game a little bit more than they've used, maybe a lot more than they've used their second running back in the past. And to me, that's like, if you ask me the last 3 or 4 years, what's the key for the Niners to win the Super Bowl? I've said this many times. It's like, they got to get to the playoffs with a healthy and rested and rejuvenated CMC. If they do that, I think they can beat everybody in the league. But that's a big if, and they haven't been able to get there. They've had to run this guy into the ground, and he's by the time he shows up in the Super Bowl, he doesn't have it anymore. He's like, he's just a shadow of what he potentially could be. So I think Kalon Black, in fact, I'll say this. Because of that reason, I think Kalon Black's my X factor for this season. I really do, because I think the Niners have to keep CMC fresh. I think they get that this year. And I think Black's the key to doing that. And I think he's going to be really, really good. I think there's going to be times where you're going to be like, hey, you know what? You run Black here, short yardage, goal line, because he does have tremendous power in his legs. And I think he's going to be a really key 49er. But if I said to you, give me an X factor for the year, regardless of position, anybody, either side of the ball, who's your X factor for the year?
How soon George Kittle comes back? Is he still him? 30 on the wrong side of 30 and Achilles for a speed guy, I'm scared of that. Now, I'm not going to doubt Kittle. And if you ask George Kittle, he'd say he's going to play 5-6 more years. And I hope that's the case. My concern is somebody at some time is going to hit that age wall. I don't know who it's going to be, whether it's Kittle, CMC, Trent. Like, you've got some older players peppered throughout this roster. So George Kittle's big for me, and Dre Greenlaw. When Dre Greenlaw plays well, that's the best linebacker group in the NFL. They completely shut down teams last year. You go to that first Super Bowl. They couldn't do, or the second Super Bowl, like Chiefs, yeah, Travis Kelce fighting his head coach on the sideline, Dre Greenlaw locking him up. Injury happens, as you talked about. Everything changes. They take advantage of, you know, the backup linebacker, and the rest is history. But, man, I'm going to go George Kittle and Dre Greenlaw. Those two guys, if you can get Kittle back on time, if Dre Greenlaw can be the enforcer and stay on the field, dude, I love Dre Greenlaw, man. He is just, he changes the entire temperament of the team.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I'll never forget the Patrick Mahomes moment where he ran off the field in Vegas after the first series, you know, just imploring his sideline. We got to dial up our intensity. And it's like, you know what? That was all about Greenlaw. It was all about Greenlaw. And if he could have played at the level that he was playing at throughout that game, I really believe the Niners would have won that game. It's a tough one. It's a real, real tough one. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick timeout and tell you that the Krug Show is brought to you by our good friends at Prize Picks. That's right. Prize Picks is America's number one sports picks app, and the reason I like it, it's simple. You're just picking more or less on player stats or game outcomes, building your lineup, and you're in. No complicated stuff, just what you think is going to happen in the game. So you use code HMA. Play $5, get $50 in lineups instantly. The link is in the description. All right, so we will move Johnny and I to the corner here. Well, first of all, we'll get this little comment off the screen for just a sec. Not that we don't love it. And we'll move ourselves there, and we will share the screen and welcome in our Prize Picks options. There we go. And then we'll come over here and switch the format so it all looks nice and copacetic. All right, where is it? There we go. Right there. Ooh,
is there
look at that.
Over under on shy free throws, because that's what I would be betting
on
more
which,
or less. Yeah,
the more on Shea Gilgeous Alexander free. Yeah, let me see. Let's go NBA. We'll go NBA. So this is we got OKC or San Antonio here. We're waiting on the Eastern Conference Finals are done. The Knicks, who I think are going to win the finals, but we'll see. It'll be an upset if they do. But here we've got Spurs, Thunder. Who do you want here? You want Shea?
Man, I'm staying out of this. I'm a Mavs guy. I hate these two teams. I'm not watching this damn series. I am boycotting. I am so pissed at the NBA and how it's gone.
Okay, I like Jared McCain. He's a kid from Sacramento. I like him. So I'm going to go with more than 13.5 points on Jared McCain. Victor Wembanyama. Oof. Oh, man. Big Vic. 27.5 points, John. More or less? Or you can go three dunks, more or less.
Oh, three dunks. The dude's 12 foot tall on a 10 foot goal.
All right, we'll go with more. More on dunks, and then Shea or Castle. I kind of like the Spurs in this next game, so I'm gonna go with Shea under. I'm gonna go Shea less than 30.5 points. All right, so we'll come over here and we will wager. Now, we're not gonna put 20 on it. We don't have that much confidence in this. We'll go five. We'll go five. And we'll submit our lineup. There we go. And it takes, you know, a couple seconds. And there you go. We have our lineup. We'll view our lineup. All right. We did a three-pick power play. $5 pays us $28.75. Jared McCain has to score 14 points. Victor Wembanyama's got to have four dunks. And Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's got to have 30 points or less. He scores 31 or more, we're loser. But if he scores 30 or less, we're winners. And if we go 3 for 3, our $5 turns into $28.75. Thanks to Prize Picks for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. We appreciate them and all that they do. They're great sponsors of the show, and we'll move this out of the way. But thank you to Prize Picks for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. All right. And you guys, I'm a big fan of Prize Picks, so check them out. They do a great job. I want to play this little soundbite. I always love hearing from Dick Sherman, and he was asked the question about Kyle on the hot seat. And it's like these guys, this is when, you know, we're at the point in the offseason where there's nothing new. You know what I mean? We've had the draft. We've all done all the videos, but yet it's still May 27th. And we got to have stuff to talk about. And Sherman's no different than us. He's got to have something to talk about. And the topic today is Kyle Shanahan ever going to be on the hot seat?
If Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers missed the playoffs this year, do you think his job potentially would be in danger?
They missed the playoffs this year? I don't know who asked this question, but we got to check what's in their cup. if Kyle Shanahan missed the playoffs this year, would he be on the hot seat? Absolutely not. He wouldn't even be close. He'd be on an iceberg. He'd still be on an absolute iceberg. And if he somehow was on the hot seat, then there'd be 20 seats in the NFL getting hotter as his got hotter. Because if he ever got fired, so would they. Because there are at least 20 teams in the National Football League that would fire their coach that day to have a chance to interview Kyle Shanahan to be their head coach. I would say it's 15 to 20 teams that would love Kyle Shanahan as their head coach and the leader of their franchise. And I don't think that Jed York would be willing to fire Kyle Shanahan to make him available to other teams. The masterclass that he just put on this year, losing Bosa, losing Fred Warner, losing Brock Purdy, losing Kittle for a while, and they still won 12 games. Missing the playoffs would just be...
Yeah, so... I'll throw it to you, but this is just kind of an absurd notion. But there's a lot of people that love to stir the pot and love to stir the pot in this category. Kyle Shanahan's on the hot seat. You know, the 49ers have been to two Super Bowls. He's won five. His winning percentage is 550. He's 9-4, I believe, in the playoffs with two Super Bowl berths. So, you know, people can wish, they can, the drama, and, you know, people love to park their car in the corner of head coach and starting quarterback. So you see probably the most bogus kind of topics around those two positions. But why is it that Shanahan, it's weird. It's like Shanahan was the OC in Atlanta when they blew the 28-3 lead. He wasn't the head coach. He wasn't the defensive coordinator. It would seem to me that those two guys deserve the blame, and it seems like Shanahan took more blame for that 28-3 loss than Quinn did, and Quinn was the head coach, and definitely more than any of the defensive staff did, and they gave up a 28-3 lead. So, I don't know. There's a lot of people that love to throw out the Shanahan's going to get, you know, on the hot seat. I just don't see it. I kind of see it the way Sherman sees it. How do you see it, John?
Oh, yeah, he's not going anywhere, like, at all. He could have back-to-back years where they don't make the playoffs. He's not going anywhere. This guy gives you such an advantage. Players, coaches, people that have been around the league understand. Look at how many Kyle Shanahan disciples are head coaches throughout the league. He gives you such an advantage consistently. We talked about how he makes quarterbacks all this money. And I hate to say it, and it might ruffle some feathers, and I apologize. I'm not trying to insult anybody here. But if you're one of those people that's like, man, they got to fire Kyle Shanahan, a guy who's received Coach of the Year votes in 5 out of 9 seasons, you might not understand what you're watching, and you might not know what's going on out there. Kyle Shanahan is a top 5 coach in the NFL, and he ain't 4 or 5. Yeah, he doesn't have the Super Bowl yet, but man, what is it, like 8 teams have never even won the Super Bowl? Like, I understand that. Your job, and we used to say this whenever I coached down in Duncanville in Texas, like, people would ask us, like, y'all going to win the championship? Man, the things that have to go your way, the ball bouncing your way, staying healthy, things that are not in your necessary control, your job is to get your team in a place to compete for that and to have a chance. Shanahan does that more often than not. And he rebuilt a horrible franchise. Horrible. It's not like McVay walking into the Rams where you just had the number one overall pick and a quarterback in place and Todd Gurley and Aaron Donald. You didn't have that. You're coming off of Jim Tomsula, Chip Kelly. You had nothing. Rebuilt it from scratch. Now a quarter of the NFL is all your personnel, all your coaches. Kyle Shanahan... Yeah, there's criticisms. I'm not a bootlicker. We've talked about this, Larry. There's some major issues with Kyle Shanahan. But the issues do not take him out of the top five. But, you know, Richard Sherman said 20 teams would fire their coach automatically. I agree with that. To rebuild a team, everybody would be so stoked to have Kyle Shanahan right now. He's going into his 10th year. And, goodness, the 49ers are in the mix every damn year. Every year.
Yeah, I mean, you know... The Niners haven't climbed to the top of the mountain. And Kyle Shanahan was asked about, hey, would you rather have that one Super Bowl, or would you rather be and then be bad for a decade, or would you rather be competitive throughout the decade? And it's a good question, but his answer, I thought, was the greatest answer. He's like, as soon as you mention the Super Bowl, I haven't been able to think about the rest of the question, because he's obsessed with the Super Bowl, because, and he should be, because it's really the holy grail. If he gets that Super Bowl, he's a made man and can stay as long as he wants. And if John wins that Super Bowl, the same. And if Jed wins that Super Bowl, the same. And if Brock Purdy wins that Super Bowl, the same. I mean, they're all a Super Bowl win away from, you know, just being kind of made men in their profession. So
it's funny because, like, I'll ask people, like, the next question, when people are like, oh, we got to fire Shannon, my question is always, well, who would you hire? Who are you going to replace him with? Because that's the second part. And they'll say things like Andy Reid, Sean McVay. And I'm like, Andy Reid never won anything as far as the Super Bowl goes until he had the best quarterback in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan's done this with Brock Purdy and freaking Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I love those dudes. They're good. Well, awesome.
And that's what you hear, by the way, John. And not to cut you off, but that's what I hear so many times. If I ever bring up Brock Purdy and that he wins, people, the Niner fan who doesn't have much of a scope of quarterbacks will immediately be like, well, what about Jimmy Garoppolo? He won. It's like, dude, really? You're going to go there? Brock Purdy was better in his first game off the bench, not knowing he was going to play, than Jimmy Garoppolo was his whole fucking career. What are we talking about? I mean, what? You're going to go there? You're going to go Jimmy Garoppolo on me? Really? I mean, come on.
He's handsome.
Yeah. He had, you know, but Jimmy couldn't even turn his back on the defense and flip back and know where anybody was. He needed a full, like, second to, like, reassess where everybody was. Where Brock Purdy can turn his back on the defense, turn right around, and know exactly where everybody is. We saw Brock Purdy in his first game against the Dolphins. Brian Flores is bringing the kitchen sink, and Brock Purdy blindly hit George Kittle on a little bang eight right in the middle of the field. He never saw George Kittle. It was all spatial awareness based on where he thought Kittle would be in the pattern at the moment he was releasing the ball. He literally threw it blind. But Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't do that ever. So I don't know. I mean, the Jimmy Garoppolo thing is always that. So many Niner fans bring up Jimmy Garoppolo as like why they don't believe in Brock Purdy. I don't believe in Brock Purdy. I believed in Jimmy, and Jimmy sucked eventually. You know, it's like, I believed in Cap. He was good. You know, the Niners have a couple quarterbacks that were good and then not good. And it's like, so it's like Niner fans just have like a, it's like scars, like battle scars. Like, oh, I bought the Cap jersey and he sucked. I bought the Garoppolo jersey. You know, I'm not going to get fooled again. I don't know. Maybe that's a small minority of the fans, but it does seem like there's people out there kind of expecting Brock Purdy to just disintegrate when he's getting better every year. Every single time I see this guy, he's clearly still in a somewhat gradual ascension as a prospect. That's what I see. I see a guy that's continuing to get better every time. Even last year, coming off the turf toe, I thought, oh, turf toe, he's probably gonna be pretty bad. John, he was better last year in some ways than I've ever seen him before. I don't know. For whatever reason, people have, you know, they love the idea of Shanahan's on the hot seat. Purdy's not him. You know, those are hot takes in Ninerland. Okay, couple last thoughts. Jaden Daniels. He was asked today about Brandon Ayuk. Maybe it was yesterday. He says, I don't have a sense of it. He was asked, do you have any sense of Ayuk, where Ayuk's at mentally with his career, football-wise? And he said, I don't have a sense of it. Ayuk's football future is out of my control. It almost seems like Daniels has given up hope that Ayuk's going to play for them. John, are we ever going to see Brandon Ayuk play in the NFL again? I mean, I know that seems like a dramatic question, but there are no indications that he is on the verge of a comeback of any kind.
I mean, now you're talking about like one of his best friends. You've got TJ Houshmandzadeh, his wide receiver coach, his agent, you know, left him. I don't know, man. And if I had to guess, I don't think he ever plays again.
Wow.
It's sad, like how talented he is. That all this is going on. He's taking photos on Instagram about how much money he's got. Like, I just don't think it's his priority anymore. And so I don't know, man. I feel for the dude. I mean, he let his team down. And, you know, I don't know. Some people that we've referenced on this show were talking about him being ready week one last year. So you can take those kind of takes for however you want to. But I don't know, man. I'm completely done with BA. And like I come at this from a coaching perspective. You protect your locker room, you protect your brothers. And like, man, I'm watching Band of Brothers right now. You don't just walk out on your team when you're getting paid all that and just never call or show up. Like, I'm talking to my freaking teenager, like no call, no show. Like he's working at a pizza place. And I'm like, dude, you got to go to work all the time. And if you don't, you got to let him know he didn't do this. Yeah, he's more mature than BA. Like you don't let others down just because whatever's going on. So I hope somebody in his life is helping him get some type of, counseling check on something. I'm worried about this kid, man. And
I'm too.
I hate it.
It seems, you know, it's a very dramatic sport. You make a lot of money and then it goes away when your body breaks, and his body broke, and it all happened so damn fast. And I just feel like he's demonstrating instability here, and I hope he's okay. As a guy, you know, beyond football, of course, just, I hope he's okay as a guy. Because he's had a fall from grace. That's been very dramatic. All right. We hit our prize picks, but let me thank a couple of our sponsors and then we'll hit some of our supers. Thank you to AlamarMarina.net. Float while you dine on the Sacramento River. The Alamar, great restaurant. They're at 5999 Garden Highway up in Sacramento. They're open Wednesday through Sunday, 11 to 7 on Wednesday through Saturday, 9 to 4 on Sundays. Try the shrimp tacos, the lobster roll, the burger's amazing. AlamarMarina.net. There are very few places where you can drive up your boat, park it, have breakfast or lunch and get back on your boat and sail away. You can do that at Alamar Marina. So AlamarMarina.net, the Alamar is the name of the restaurant, 5999 Garden Highway. Thanks to Brandon and all the good people up at Alamar for sponsoring the Krug Show. And they're going to sponsor a very big segment on the Krug Show. We're going to have some football insiders with us this year, and the Alamar has made that possibility. So thank you to them. And also thank you to our good friends at Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles, the great Anthony Catania. He's at 831-521-5264. You can catch him at 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California. It's a fantastic sports cards and collectibles store, and he's offering free shipping to anybody who's a Krug Show fan. You just tell him you're a Krug Show fan, and he will pay the shipping on whatever it is that you purchase. And thanks to Anthony Catania. He's a really good dude. Great Niner fan, and we're really excited to be associated with Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. All right. John, if you could add one piece to this thing, to one piece to the puzzle, I'm going to share the screen. Somebody had this out today. I think it was Pro Football Draft Network or something. And it was kind of an interesting thing. It was a guess, basically, on their part of every team in the league and their trade candidate. I don't know if you saw this, but if you haven't seen this, do you want to guess who the Niner trade candidate is? It's obviously not shown here. It's at the bottom, but I'm going to show it here in a second. What Niner player do you think would be considered their top trade candidate as we sit here on May the 27th?
Top trade candidate for the Niners? Probably Mac Jones.
It's actually Isaac Garendo.
Oh, Isaac, yes, Garendo. Trade him. Trade Isaac him.
Garendo. But this is an interesting list. I don't know if you can see the list. Can you see the list, or is it too small?
No, it's good.
You can see it. Okay, so I'm looking at this list, okay? And I'm just going down. Who can any of these guys help the Niners win the Super Bowl? Okay, James Conner a couple of years ago could have. Okay, Keon Coleman, no. I do like Xavier Leggett, but he's really raw. Jerry Judy would be interesting to me. If you needed a receiver, Niners don't seem to need a receiver. They got a bunch. Terrion Arnold is a good corner, though. I really like Terrion Arnold. That's an interesting name to me. When I go further down the list, I see a couple guys down here. Colby Parkinson with the Rams. If the Rams are going to move Colby Parkinson, I think if I'm the Niners, that is the guy to get. He's smart. He's played for the Rams. He's played for the Seahawks. He knows the division. He's playing his best football, it seems like, every year that goes by. He's got pretty good hands, played well in the playoffs. The Rams have a bunch of tight ends. But, man, if Colby Parkinson is available at the cutdown or in a trade, if I'm John Lynch, I'd make that trade. I'd make that call, at least. I don't think the Rams would be in a rush to give him to you. But that's a guy that interests me. Another guy that interests me is Jordan Addison from the Minnesota Vikings. I think that Jordan Addison is a really good player, and I know he's not going to get a contract extension from Minnesota. He's had some off-field driving issues. He's driving too fast and that kind of thing. But Jordan Addison, I think, would be a fantastic Niner. Kayvon Thibodeau sitting there as an edge rusher is really interesting. I kind of like Johnny Newton, who's at the bottom here. Jerzon Newton played at Illinois. You're looking at this list, and you know football. Give me a guy or two on this list that you would be excited about if the Niners could add them before week one.
Yeah, tight end Evan Engram. I think that would be huge from Denver. Yeah. I would like that one. And the edge, Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, he's probably, you know, looking at this list, probably the most talented player on this list at the most important position. You know, how long is it going to take Mykal and Bosa to return? Keon White with the shot ankle. Like, those would be the two positions that I would say, all right, I'm interested. It'd be weird to do it. Colby Parkinson definitely piques my interest, but that rare interdivision player trade, you might have to pay a premium there, but man, I'd love to have that dude.
Yeah, Parkinson would be nice. Last one. If you were on the field tomorrow in Santa Clara watching OTAs, you know the way these practices work, right? It's a football practice. So on this side of the field, you got one position group, and maybe over there you got somebody else. And on the other side of the field, there's a couple other position groups, and you can't watch them all. You can watch somebody. You can watch maybe a couple different positions. If you got to go to mini camp tomorrow and you could park yourself anywhere watching anything, where are you parking yourself? What are you watching?
I want to know the linebacker rotation. Who is getting that Sam linebacker snaps? Is Nick Martin just getting lined up at will? Is Tatum Bethune getting number three snaps and will, or the Mike snaps? Like, I want to know how that's going to shake out. That's the one where I'm just like, are they doing some, you know, 4-3 over, 3-4 odd sets, like what that looks like. So the linebackers, I think, are going to be telling with the new defensive coordinator. I would be paid, but as linebacker, I played it, I coached it. That's usually where my eyes go. But man, I'm dying to know what that rotation looks like in the linebacker room.
I'll tell you where my eyes would go. I mean, obviously, I want to see who's going to be lining up with the ones at left guard. But so that's the one position thing I'll be looking for. But other than that, I want to see these hybrid guys. You got some hybrid players here that you haven't had in the past. Romello Height. Romello Height wouldn't have fit in a 4-3, you know, wide nine typically. But in this, you know, defense that Raheem Morris is going to run where there's some five-man fronts, I think he fits in really well. Larry Worth III, is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? Where is he? Is he running with the backers and he's a speedy linebacker?
Put him at tight end.
Or is he a tight end? Is he a jumbo safety? I mean, that's one guy. And Jaden Duggar. I mean, Jaden Duggar is coming off a year where he had 125 tackles for the Raging Cajuns at Louisiana. And you know, this guy wore the green dot. He's very, very athletic. His pursuit ability is unbelievable. To me, I want to see those three kind of hybrid players and who starts at left guard. That's what jumps out at me. That's going to do it for us, by the way, except we have a couple supers. So let's hit our supers. We have three of them here and let's just jump right in with them. We got this one from Tommy Huxley, who says Hittner coming at Demo now. Oh, I did see that. What do you think of, I mean, Dante is a former player. He sees things as a DB that you or I probably wouldn't see necessarily. And he has his own platform now and he wants to use it to critique these guys. It doesn't seem like the guys want his critiques. That's for sure. But Jair maybe went at him and we know how that went. Where Demo has kept it a little bit more cordial. He's got a little bit more experience in the media than Jair does. And he kind of knows how to play it a little bit more, but he kind of seemed to like not be angered by Whitner's criticisms as much as kind of interested. So that's probably good. What do you think of Whitner's, you know, criticism on YouTube of Niner players?
I don't mind the criticism of players ever. I hate when the journalist or podcaster or content person becomes the story and injects himself. That's not, I don't like that. And so now he's doing it with multiple players and it's just like, I don't think that's beneficial to really anybody. So I hate it. I wish players would just stay out of it. I wish Hittner would stay out of it because you're just messing up kind of the way people see you around here. But, you know, you got to get clicks, got to get your money. It's what it is. I do want to say a shout out to Tommy and your family. I know you're going through a rough time, man. We love you, brother. Thinking about you, man.
Who are you shouting out to there?
Tommy, who left a super chat.
Oh, I got you. Tommy Huxley. I got you. I was looking ahead here. All right. We got this one from Stefan Niners. He said more likely than Bosa on the Niners, more likely than that Bosa or the Niners get 20 sacks.
Oh, yeah. They'll get over 20 sacks this year again.
Well, he's on the Niners.
Yeah.
There's no way that Bosa could get 20 sacks without the Niners.
He's not getting 20 sacks. Bosa is not getting 20 sacks. That'd be awesome. Niners will get over 20 sacks, which is sad that we have to even comment on that.
The Niners don't get 20 sacks. Oh, my God. Stefan says, which season award is most likely for us this year? Which season award?
Comeback player of the year goes to Fred Warner. I don't know that's a team award, but
I'll go MVP goes to Purdy.
Oh.
I mean, I know that's a tall ask. But let's be honest about this. Brock Purdy has never, I mean, last year when I watched the Niners-Seattle playoff game, John, that was the least separation I've ever seen from wide receivers from defensive backs. Now you've added all these guys with 4.3 speed and Mike Evans. Brock Purdy, every time I watch him, seems to get a little bit better. And if he's healthy now and the elbow's healthy and he's got a better receiving core and he's got more separation, I think the numbers show that he can dot you down the field and be very accurate. And he's never operated with this many receivers that have this kind of separation capability. So I like Brock to really thrive this year. I think he's going to take off. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to John. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to the sponsors. John, once again, tell people if they want to follow you on the travel front and hang with you in Atlanta, in Australia, in Mexico City, in Dallas, Texas. Tell them where's the best place to connect with you if they want to travel.
49ersRushRoadTrip.com. That's where all of the event tickets are. You check us out on TickPick. Just look up 49ers Rush. It pulls up. And then we're the 49ers Rush podcast. If you want to check us out, we're not as good as Larry. We're the Mac Jones to Larry's Stop. Brock Purdy. It's what it is.
Bro, we always love streaming with you. Have a great night. We'll do it again next week. Thanks to everybody. Peace. Yeah, never met a man I've been scared.